Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you've missed, we are so glad that you're connecting with God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com.
Well, I'm going to ask those of you in the building to stand out of respect for God's word. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22. At home, you're welcome to do that also. One of the things that you'll see that we're doing since we have such the majority of our people online is that I love for responsive reading, but with people mainly being online, they don't hear you in the sanctuary. So I've been having people on the stage that will lead you in that reading portion. And as a result, those at home, there's not a blank moment. Does that make any sense to anybody? And so we're out of Matthew 22. Ronson here is going to help me. I'm going to start at Matthew 22, starting at verse 34. And then Ronson will follow me and you can read along with him. Hear the word of the Lord. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. Verse 35.
One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question.
Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Verse 37.
Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all your soul and all your mind."
This is the first and the greatest command. Verse 39.
A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself.
The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commands. Would you pray with me? And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. And thank you, Ronson. Can you give him a hand this morning? Well, before I actually jump into God's word this morning, I want to remind you that although we're in a particular strange time, we are not going to stop praying as a church. And so we typically have a Friday prayer on the fourth Friday, if I'm not mistaken, because it's on Christmas or Christmas Eve this year. We're going to meet this Friday, December 18th at 7 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. We've been meeting once a month. If you feel comfortable to come and pray with us in person, we haven't had a whole lot of people coming, but we're going to keep praying if I'm the last man standing. You know what I'm saying. And so we want to invite you out. If you want to come out and pray, we believe prayer is critical in this season. And you're also able to watch us online. If you can't or don't feel safe to be in a community at this point, we are allowing both of those to happen. So plan it, put it on your calendar this Friday, December 18th, 7 p.m., either in the sanctuary or online. Hope to see you there as we seek the Lord. Amen, church? Well, we are in the middle of a series. The series is Jesus the Game Changer. I don't know of anybody that I need in my life more to change the game than Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen to that? Can somebody repeat after me, say, game changer? Say it again, game changer. Yeah, I know in my own life what it's done for me, and I know for many of you, the exact same thing is true. Now, this is Advent. This is our season where we start to talk about what it means to connect with Christ and his birth. But let me just say this. My real passion is that you and I, through this series, would have a fresh, renewed connection with Jesus. Is that okay? That we have a connection with him. So for the last couple of weeks as we've started this series, we looked at Jesus, the game changer. In week one, we said the first thing that changed the game was his birth. And his birth was as such that it redefined kingship. It redefined what servanthood looked like, and it proved that he truly loved us. Then last week, we looked at him as the game changer, not only his birth, but we looked at his life. And Pastor Santis looked to us and showed us that the life of Jesus himself, he could have gone on and on and on. He gave us a few examples, how he came alongside the marginalized people, especially women, how he modeled greatness, and how he exercised authority and provided a way for all of us. So yes, Jesus is a game changer. He's a game changer because of his birth. He's a game changer because of his life. But today we're going to look at a third element of why he could change the game, and that is his teachings. He changes the game simply because of his teachings. Now, let me say this. We read the Bible, and we look at the Bible, many of us, and we sometimes accept some of it, and sometimes we don't accept other parts of it. For example, we all love the scripture that said that God so what? Loved the world, or loved me, that he gave Jesus, right? We love that. We're all good with Jesus loves me. But we're not so good with the other part of Jesus' teaching where he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Here's my point. In Jesus' teaching as a game changer, you can't just accept some of it and throw the rest of it away. You have to understand the fullness of the game change. You have to know that you accept all of Jesus' teachings, all, even the ones that you and I sometimes struggle with. So my question to you today in the sanctuary, and for those of you at home, I want you to know and ask the question, what is it that I need from him? What are the issues I need as a game changer for me? Am I in the middle of financial difficulty? Can he be the game changer for my physical, my financial issues? Can he be the game changer for relational challenges? I know that I know online and in this sanctuary, there are those of you that are struggling in your marriage. There are those that are struggling with your children, those who are struggling with your workmates. Can Jesus change the game for those situations? I believe he can. Can somebody say amen to that? Some of you need a game changer as it relates to your health. It came out of the blue. Some of you are facing, in your families, this thing called cancer. Some of you are facing other ailments. I believe Jesus is the game changer for that. Some of you simply today are struggling with this thing called lack of direction and purpose and loneliness and anxiety. Jesus is the game changer for all of that. Does anybody here agree with me that he is the game changer? Amen? He is the game changer for all of this. Now, the key for all of that is that we intellectually can say that he is the game changer. But there is something on our behalf that is critical, and that is this. We have to be willing to learn from him. We have to be willing to learn from him. Time out. I believe today we have more capacity to have information at our disposal like no time in history. And yet we are truly, in many ways, not willing to learn. Do you know disciple in the Greek is a word called mathetes? And I've told you this before, I'll say it again. It literally means a disciple is somebody who is a perpetual learner. In other words, in order for Jesus to be engaged in your situations, you've got to allow him to be able to teach you and train you. You've got to allow humility to come in to be able to go where only he can take you. Now, Jesus was an incredible teacher. He was a great teacher for several reasons. The first was this. He was a game changer because he understood his audience. He knew them. He knew where they were at. He knew their heartfelt. He didn't just preach at them. He was with them. And there's a big difference. How many of you have been in services where you feel like you're being preached at, but you're not being preached with as a journey together? Jesus knew where his people were at. And when he taught, he didn't only know where his people were at, he taught with stories. I can preach and preach and preach, but the things that you will remember are what? The stories. Jesus knew that. I know in my own life that I am I'm a little hyper, just a little bit. And as I would sit in your seat, if I were to sit, I applaud those of you sitting in the way back, because if I were to sit in the way back, I would be out. That would be it. I would be resting in Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, that would be the end of it. I have to sit in the front so that I have no distractions and so I can interact with the situation, whether that I would sit, I would even do that in classroom. I mean, I would sit when I was in school in the front row of every class, because if any other location, I was gone. Does this make sense to anybody else? Can anybody else relate to that? Say amen. Am I the only one? Don't leave me hanging out there. We know that Jesus understood his audience. He taught with stories. And what made him so different as the game changer is that he actually, catch this, it's pretty profound. When he taught, he actually believed it. I believe that's one of the greatest challenges is in the church today. We have people that are charismatic, very articulate, have a great handle on the English language, and yet do they really believe it? People will know quickly whether you believe this or not. Jesus believed it. Jesus also wanted to connect it with the people in which he was sharing with them. He didn't want to just woo and wow them about how smart he was. So many preachers are trying to woo and wow you about how they know the Greek, and you walk away thinking that what in the world did they just say? The art of a true teacher is somebody that can take some concept, bring it down that we all can understand it, and walk away and be changed. Can I get an amen? That's truly the way Jesus was. He not only believed it, he was passionate about it. He truly desired to connect it, and he knew what he was talking about. I believe there are three things that I want to share with you today that I believe changed the game as it related to Jesus' teaching. Now, I read in Matthew chapter 22 a passage where many of you have heard many, many times before. The rulers and the experts of the law were coming to Jesus, as we read. They're trying to trap him. They could care less about anything other than taking Jesus down. And they said, well, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus had this capacity and this ability to take complex. You got to think about, they're wrapped up, they're steeped in this tradition called the Levitical Code and all Leviticus. They were steeped in all the Mosaic Code, and they had all of these traditions. And they're asking Jesus on the spot, which one is the greatest? And he has this capacity to bring it all down and make it simple and lay a foundation. And he lays it in such a way that everybody can understand it. The youngest of the young. But the challenge will be whether you will actually practice it. And you know his answer. And the law is summed up this way, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind. And Jesus added the mind later. And strength. He was quoting Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema. And he was saying to them, this is what it's about. And then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is what he was saying. He made this a foundation. What was he saying in this teaching? If I first love God with everything that I have, and if I don't love him with everything that I have, it's not a perfect love. Not a one of us is perfect. But I love him with everything that I've got, then all of a sudden I'm going to be able to receive his love in my life. And once I receive his love in my life, guess what will happen? I'll be able to love me. And once I have the capacity to love me, then I'm going to be able to love you. And he just kind of uses that as the foundation. If you don't love God, then you're not going to be able to receive the love of God, then you're not going to be able to love everybody else. But once you begin to have the ability to love God, just come as you are, right? And when you come that way, love him with everything you have, you'll experience it. And everything, all the laws, everything else, all the commandments, they shoot from that base. And this is how he simplifies it. So let me move on as he gives us that foundation and give you three things today, as I believe he's a game changer. The first thing is simply this. His teaching changes us. His teaching changes us. Would you repeat after me? Say, change me, Jesus. Say it again. Change me, Jesus. And what I see in Matthew 22, as I've already said, is he quotes Deuteronomy 6, and he really, really starts from the inside out. They were all about crossing their T's, dotting their I's. Nobody ever really thought about the condition of the heart. Nobody really thought about what actually is inside of me. As long as I obey the law, that's all that matters. Jesus put it aside and said, no. It starts simply from this within, in the heart. And when you understand that, his teaching will then begin to change you. Do you remember when he gave this sermon? The sermon that I did a whole series on. We called it Flip the Script, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he threw out this sermon. And as he threw it out, everybody realized, we can't live up to this sermon. This is impossible. That's right. That's exactly where you need to be. You realize that it's in the heart and you can't change your heart. And then when you realize it starts there, then his teaching can come in and change everything. Now, when he finished that sermon, it was crazy. It said in chapter 7, the last verse, it said, and he amazed them with his teaching. You remember that? He amazed them because he taught with someone who what? Had authority. You can have somebody that's a really good communicator, but you're going to know whether somebody has the blessing and the anointing of God on them. They can even blow up the English language and God can still use them, like me. Hallelujah. I can blow the English language up pretty well with the best of them. But Jesus had authority. Do you know in the New Testament, Jesus said 75 times, truly I say to you, you catch that? Truly I say to you, what's he saying? The authority rests with me. I'm not going to another writer or another philosopher or another leader. I'm giving you truth from me. Even Socrates says, I don't know. But Jesus was assured that he was confident in what he believed. I can take you to Colossians 2, verses 2 and 3. And it says, all the treasures and hidden wisdom are found in one, Jesus Christ. And that's why we see that this gospel has been translated in over 2,500 languages. It has made an incredible impact. He is a game changer because of his teaching. Now, you need to realize that the Jewish people in that day and age, they were, a teacher is called what? A rabbi, right? You all know that. Rabbi means teacher. And they were known as the people of the book. And the reason why they were known as people of the book is because Rome had destroyed Israel's dreams. All of their dreams were destroyed by Rome. They had no heroes. They had no soldiers. They had no wealth, and they had no power. All they had was teachers. And when they looked around, as they were people of the book, the Romans had armies. The Greeks had culture. We see that Egypt had wealth. The Phoenicians had ships. And yet, they were looking to the rabbis and the teachers to be the answer. Now, here's what I know to be true. When you start to read something like the New Testament, and it truly impacts your life, you will remember it. Maybe you were raised in the church, and as a result, you don't remember when you first read it. But for someone like me that wasn't raised in the church at an early age, I remember the first time I read it, and it jumped out. It was an aha. It was an aha moment for me. Anybody else can relate to that? I remember where I was. I remember what had happened inside of me, and I was like, this teaching is true. My point is this. You can't just have emotions in your connection with Jesus. You have to have truth that will secure you when life is unfair and when the storms come. And if you don't have truth, and that's Jesus' teaching, you're going to be tossed and blown by the wind. You're going to be all over the place. And you live in a day, and I live in a day and age, where we've got teachings coming from all over the place. I am here to tell you that Jesus' teachings are incredible. Now, it's not only that he's a teacher, a rabbi, but let me make this clear to us. It's just as important that he's not just a teacher and rabbi, but also that he is Lord. You catch the difference? I can be awed and awed by a teacher, but that doesn't necessarily change my life. But when he's Lord of my life, that means he controls me from the inside out. Now, let me give you a biblical example of this. We had two disciples, Judas Iscariot and Peter the apostle. They both failed miserably, did they not? Judas Iscariot did what? He betrayed Jesus. After he betrayed Jesus, we know that he threw the money back. He went out and he committed suicide in his grief. Peter, who made a declaration and said what? I will never, ever, ever leave you. I will be with you till the very end. And when the heat came on, after he cut off an ear, he went and then he denied that he knew Jesus three times. And then Peter said, I quit. I mean, really, if you look at the Gospels, right? He goes off, goes fishing, says, I'm done. And yet we see that Judas Iscariot is somebody that truly we see as somebody that died in misery and committed suicide. And yet Peter was restored, and as a result, Jesus said, you're the rock on which I build my church. What's the difference between these two men? You ever thought about that? I would say to you today, I would throw out that the difference is that both of them knew him as rabbi and teacher. But Judas Iscariot only knew him as teacher, which did not change his life. Peter, on the other hand, when Jesus asked his disciples, do you remember the story? Who do the people say I am? It was Peter who stood up and said what? You are the Christ. You are the Lord. And the difference between Judas and Peter is that Peter was able to be forgiven because he knew Jesus as Lord, because we all fail. And once we know him as Lord, his teaching will actually change us. When we only know him as rabbi and teacher, it's only appropriate in the moment that it benefits us, and that is a big difference in our lives. Again, he's quoting Deuteronomy 6:4, the Shema, which he's clearly saying this. It all starts from the heart. His teaching, he's a game changer because his teaching changes us. The key point is this. Jesus' teaching calls you and us, he calls us at our heart to come and to be transformed. To be transformed. Let me give you the second that I believe change is a game changer for Jesus, and that is that his teaching not only changes us, his teaching challenges us. His teaching challenges us. Would you repeat after me? Say, I'm ready. Say it again, I am ready. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to be around people that challenge me. Anybody else? I love to be around people that aren't just coasting in life, who want to live life. I love to listen to somebody that loves to do parasailing or rock climbing or loves to go to an exotic place in the world and loves to take risks and do life and continue to learn and grow. I love being around brilliant people and people that are skilled and way better than me, because when I'm around them, guess what happens? I'm challenged by them. You know, if I'm around people that are just in coast mode, now that I'm in my mid-50s, what I'm finding, the older you get, there's this temptation, is there not, to kind of go into the coast mode. Life has this beating effect on you, and it beats on you and beats on you and beats on you. Unless you're getting filled up over and over again, all of a sudden, it's about coasting. I don't think until we have our last breath are we ever to coast. Anybody with me? I think that living with wherever you are at, with whatever health ability you've got, skill you got, you do it with everything you've got. Can I get an amen? I don't care whether you got the 5 talents, the 3 talents, or the 1 talent. Use the talent you got. And those are the people that are most fulfilled. Well, what we know is that he's a game changer in our life when he is Lord of our lives. And then his teaching starts to change us. But then what happens is his teaching continues to challenge us. You see, I loved Jesus and had an encounter with him, but I wasn't challenged by his teaching until I started reading his teaching. And then he started convicting me of it. And in that sermon in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, he said one of the most well-known commandments, to love your enemy. Y'all know it, right? It's one of the most known teachings of Jesus, but it's probably the one that is most abused. Or not used, right? Because it's supernatural. What's he doing? He's raising the standard, and he's saying to us, I'm going to challenge you. I'm not just going to call you to change. I'm going to challenge you that you keep on changing. And what he does is so credible. He's saying to us, love your enemies. What does that look like? That means that anger and hurt and bitterness and resentment are let go as a force in my life. And I'm free to be able to do the impossible because of how he's changed me from the inside out. Those that don't like me, I'm to give them the shalom of God, the peace of God upon them. This is just an example of a teaching. We could go on many, many teachings of how he challenges. This is only one example in Matthew 5:44. I give you the shalom of God. When my wife and I lived in the Middle East, every single time we would greet with someone, I would greet men and I'd always kiss them. We'd kiss on the cheek and we would say, salam alaikum. And then their response was, alaikum salam, which is the peace and the blessing of God upon you. And when we look at this, he's saying to us clearly that he's calling us to love our enemies this way. Not only does he call us to love our enemies, the difference and the reason why his teaching is a game changer and changes us is that he models what he's calling us to do. In other words, what he's calling you and I to do, he modeled it in front of them. Is that good? Is it more motivating for you if somebody calls you to challenge and you're actually doing it themselves? Or if they're just kind of from aloof and from a distance saying, you all do it and tell me how it goes. Right? It doesn't work that way, does it? We see in Mark chapter 5 that Jesus actually modeled what it meant to love your enemies. You go, what do you mean? If you go to Mark 5, you'll see it says in verse 1, and then he went to the other side. Catch that. He went to the other side, Decapolis. And do you know who was on the other side? The enemy! He went to the other side. Because in Decapolis, that's where the Roman power was. 6,000 of their armies. There where he found them. Pagan temples were there. Violence and sex acts and greed. And there were pigs there. And Satan was living there. And it was dark and evil and it was demonic. And he challenges them. He says, go to the other side. And he demonstrated it. I'm going to the other side. But what is it like for most of us? Most of us, we like to stay with our peeps. People who look like us, talk like us, think like us, agree with us, and bless us. And Jesus was like, it's all good that you have that, but you need to go to the other side. That's what my teaching challenges you to do. Go to the other side. And he's talking to a group of people, the Jews, who believed they were it, and then some. It was Jews and then the rest of us called Gentiles, right? And he's like, no, you need to go to the other side. Now here's the crazy thing. Not only did he go to the other side, and he's calling us to the other side as he challenges us. This is just an example I'm giving you. He gets there, and immediately what happens is a man that's is demon-possessed comes screaming at him, comes running at him, and Jesus begins to interact with the man. And as they talk, the demons speak through the man. You read it in Mark 5. And they respond in unison, a group of demons in the man, and said, we are legion, for we are many. Long story short, as you read it, Jesus casts the demons out of the man into the pigs, and the pigs run off the cliff and they die. You know the story, right? Crazy thing about that whole story is this. The enemy, the people in those villages, they said to Jesus, what? Get away from us. Leave us. They begged him to leave. They didn't even care about the man who had been restored. What they cared about was the pigs that were lost and the money that was lost. But Jesus making a point. He's saying, by the way, when you go to the other side, I'm not going to promise you that everybody's going to be all hunky-dory and they're going to love you. Loving your enemy doesn't mean that they're going to all of a sudden hug you and bless you and you're going to sing kumbaya. He's challenged us saying, I don't do it because of what they do or don't do. I do it because it's the right thing. The man was possessed and the man is now free. I could do it for a lot more people, but they said no. He's teaching them a lesson. He's challenging them. And you and I are challenged in the same way. You see, we live in a world, as he challenges us. We live in a world, tell me if I'm right or wrong. We live in a world where it's us versus them. And we created it all over the place. We create it on our race. It's us versus them. We have to stick together because we're the minority. It's us versus them between the educated and the uneducated, between the rich and the poor, between church and this church and that church, between employers and employees, between nations. And I'm saying to you, we live in this world that is totally this. And what does Scripture tell us? When Jesus came, he's like, there is no more slave or free, barbarian or Scythian, male or female, but we are all one in Christ. Can I get an amen? This is the reality of the situation is what he tells us. But in our us versus them, our group's always right, their group's always wrong. We can never learn from one another. And we continually ask the question, as we're challenged by Jesus' teaching, am I on the end? Am I accepted? Am I in that group? Am I in that group? We say that with our kids at school. We say that in our society groups. And God help us, we even say it in churches when we enter in. You walk into churches, you'll know whether you're on the outside looking in or whether you're accepted. You know whether that church is a clique or not immediately. And Jesus is telling us, he's challenging us, and he's saying, listen, you catch this? I love this. I'm for all sides. Do you believe that? Even the side that's wrong, I'm for all of them. Is that not the gospel, yes or no? You're kind of quiet out there. You don't believe me. Remember when he was getting ready to be arrested? And as he was getting arrested, there was Malchus. And Peter cuts his ear off. And Malchus was about ready to beat Jesus up and crucify him, right? What does Jesus do? He puts his ear back on. Jesus challenges us with his teaching to love our enemies. And he's for all sides. And he puts the ear back on the guy that's actually going to kill him. I am challenged by Jesus. And that's just one example that I give you today in the time that we have. But he's a game changer because his teaching changes me. He's a game changer because his teaching challenges me to do that which I can't do myself. The key point is simply this. He most importantly challenges us. If we are truly changed by his teaching, we must obey his teaching. We must obey it. We got a lot of people with a lot of head knowledge, don't we? How many times have you been in a church where God's Holy Spirit came down and he moved like crazy and somebody came up to you and they complained about something in the church the entire time? They didn't see anything or hear anything of God doing it because they only were engaged in their own little thing and missed the whole move of God. Are you with me? And the crazy thing about it is the people that get stuck with that didn't even hear what I just said. Whether you're online or whatever. They don't know that they're the ones that miss God because they get stuck in their own little thing. We see it happening all the time. My last point I would say to you is this. If, in fact, Jesus is the game changer because of his teaching, because it changes us and it challenges us, the third point is obvious then, and that is this. His teaching compels us to teach others. To teach others. That's the game changer. Can somebody say teach? Say it again, teach. And what does he tell us in Matthew 28? Some of you are already saying, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a teacher. I can't stand in front of people, and I get that. When I say Jesus tells us to teach, you can teach with your life as much as you can with your words. And as a matter of fact, your life will give you the platform, as I already said about Jesus, that gives you to be able to share your story with somebody else. Right? We know that people will learn more when they are first accepted. And once they believe they're accepted in a church or in your community group or in your neighborhood or in your organization, then they're going to be way more willing to hear you. We teach because Scripture tells us, not because I tell you. Jesus said, go to all the world and what? Teach and disciple the nations. Disciple, right? Perpetual learner. Make disciples of all nations. And then he goes on, what I just read, how far am I to go to do this? Verse 39, how far will I go? I preached this a few weeks ago. How far will I go to love my brother or my sister? How far will I go? Will I only do it when it's convenient? Will I only do it when I benefit from it? Will I only do it when people are applauding me? Will I only do it when I benefit from it? Jesus is saying, you need to go everywhere, to the most difficult people, to all over this planet. If it's changed you and it challenges you, you need to give people the opportunity to know that God has done something in my life. Now, let me just clearly say, is that if, in fact, I, as he said, to love the Lord with everything, and I do that, and then I know I've experienced the love of God, I'm experiencing what John 10:10 says. And John 10:10 says, and he has come that you would have life to what? To its full. And once I have life, having life to the full doesn't mean you're not challenged. Doesn't mean you don't have struggles. Doesn't mean you don't have your hard moments and you experience all the things. It means that you have this incredible intimacy with God who walks with you moment by moment so that you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that you know that he is closer than a brother, that he's with you till the very end, that nothing can separate you from his love. Once that is secure in your life, then that'll give you and I the capacity to be able to go and do what God called us to do. Wherever that takes us, whatever that means, we will simply do that. But if that's not occurred in my life, then what I'm telling you today is Greek. It won't mean anything. And he tells us when we go to teach, 2 Timothy 2:2, I teach others, so they go and teach others. It's the multiplication process. That changes the game when we are living it out in front of people and all doing this. Why? Because the Word of God is living and active. It's a double-edged sword penetrating our thoughts and everything about us. We teach the truth because it sets people free. Can I get an amen? It sets people free. The question I ask for you today is, where has God called you? And who is he calling you to? The key point is we are to take Jesus' teaching to the world. We're to take Jesus' teaching to the world. I believe, as we go through this series, next week I'm going to preach about Jesus, the game changer, and his victory right before Christmas, okay? And then in Christmas Eve, I'm going to talk about Advent and what each of those characteristics mean as we do Christmas Eve service. But you and I need to understand, in a season that we are living at today, we need a fresh view of Jesus. It needs to come back and be about Jesus. We've overcomplicated it. Jesus in Matthew 22 basically laid it out. If we practice this, everything else will start to make sense. If we practice this and seek first the kingdom, everything else will be added unto us at this point. I'm asking you this morning, is he the game changer for you in your situation? Because we know that his birth changed everything. We know that his life changed everything. And today, I have tried to convince you that his teaching is a game changer in our lives. We have to have all of those in order to experience what he wants in our lives. So my question to you in closing is this. Is he Lord or is he just teacher in your life? A big difference. Is he just a teacher in your life? Is he only because mom and dad say that he should be in your life? Is he only a part of your life because culturally that's all you've done in your entire life? Or is he truly Lord of your life? I'm going to give you a chance to say yes to Jesus today and say, I need him as Lord. For those of you online, for those of you in the sanctuary, because of Corona, we are getting views from all over the world. We have people viewing us now from all over the world who I have no idea who they are. How could we not tell you, if you're watching from whatever country, whatever corner of the world, what I said today, my motive has been clear, is to tell you that God so, through Jesus, so changed me that he can do the same with you. And if you want that for the first time online, would you say, I want Jesus? Would you just type that in, I want Jesus? If you want him for the first time, we have moderators on that can connect with you. I want Jesus. I don't want him just to be teacher. I want him to be Lord of my life. And then for the rest of you in this room and those of you online who know Jesus, but you've subtly switched to it being an intellectual assent and you've lost the heart connection and you want to recommit to him being Lord of your life, simply by saying this, I surrender. It's that simple. As you are, all your struggles, all your challenges, you don't have to have all the answers. All you do is say, I want to follow you. Not part-time, full-time. Full-time. 24/7, 365. Does that sound like a good plan? You have every part of my life. Move me and shape me. Here's what I want to do. I want to pray for you. Is that all right? Would you bow your heads with me? With every head bowed, either online or here in the sanctuary, if you have typed in there, I want Jesus for the first time, I would, and maybe even in the sanctuary, if you want Jesus for the first time in your life and you only knew him as teacher but not Lord, would you raise your hand and say, I want him as Lord? I'll give you a second because I want to pray for you. Is there anybody alive that would raise their hand and say, I want Jesus as Lord in my life, not just teacher? I want to get serious about this. I'm not doing so well. Okay. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, I ask today for those that are online and those that are in this place. We truly need you to be our game changer. We do. We need you to be the game changer in our lives. And I pray right now that you would give us exactly what we need. We surrender our lives. We want your teaching to change us, challenge us, so that we can go out and bless others. So give us that ability today. We want to say yes to you as Lord. We know that many of us could mess up just like Peter and deny you. And there you are to forgive us and restore us. And I'm grateful for that today. I pray that you would bless each and every one of the people that made decisions today. And I pray for every family that's watching on this Advent season, that there would be a fresh look of Jesus being the game changer in their lives. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.